Philippians chapter 1, let me give you a couple thoughts tonight and we'll dismiss. One that jumps out at me from Philippians chapter 1, quite inspiring. Last week we read verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Tonight, look with you, if we would, at a couple verses. Verse 22, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. If I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. We love you. We thank you for being God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're dealing with joy, and we're dealing with joy in the life of the Apostle Paul from prison. His life is an example to all of us that no matter where we are, no matter what we're facing, no matter what's happening in our lives, we can have joy. I hope tonight you have joy. I hope that you'll let no one steal your joy. I hope that you know your joy comes from the Lord. I hope you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I hope you know that joy is not based on happenings, it's based on Jesus. Now, Paul reminded us that joy comes from a single mind. Focus on the gospel. That's the focus of Philippians chapter 1. The gospel, as we heard a few moments ago, Camille was talking about the unfortunate circumstance of getting your hair wet at night and thinking you got to get it fixed over again, and you've wasted money at the hairdresser and wrapping your head around all of those factors, and then coming to grips with, you know, there's a bigger picture. By the way, none of us are going to go through life without ever something happening to us that we don't like. Matter of fact, something happens to me that I don't like every day. But I begin to understand that there's more to life than what I like. There's more to life than what I want. There's more to life than what I prefer. There's a bigger picture, and that, beloved, is the gospel. Somebody ought to thank God that whoever showed you the gospel wasn't hung up on what they didn't like the day they told you about Jesus. And if we get caught up in our attitudes and our feelings as a bigger priority than the gospel, we may miss an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus that, thank God, we ourselves didn't miss. So Paul said, if I'm in jail and I've got joy, what's wrong with you? The single mind. The fellowship in the gospel. And then we've been talking about the furtherance of the gospel, if you would. We saw his personal remembrance. We saw his persuaded, his persistent request. We saw his persuaded resolution. We saw his passionate, his passionate resonation. We saw his prayerful rendering, if you would, in the fellowship of the gospel. But when he talked about the furtherance of the gospel, we saw that he had an adverse predicament, and yet there was some active preaching. Jail didn't stop preaching. Amen. And your predicament won't stop preaching. God's going to let the preacher, listen to me, the decisions in Congress are not going to stop preaching. The fads and trends of society are not going to stop. Some people throw their arms up in the air when a new law comes out, when a wrong politician gets elected. What are you going to do, Pastor? I won't tell them my week didn't change. I'm still going to get up on Sunday morning and preach the word of God. I'm going to still get up Sunday night and preach the word of God. I'm still going to get up Wednesday night and preach the word of God. Listen to me. Nothing that the devil does will stop preaching. And when your mind's on that, you can still have joy. Active preaching and adamant persuasion we looked at last week. And then beyond there tonight, I want you to look at an actual plight. Paul was struggling a little bit here. And this plight, and I call it an actual plight with Paul because it's a plight that people who aren't walking with God don't have. There are some struggles you don't have to worry about having as long as you dwell in the shallow end of carnality. Okay? You don't ever have to worry about drowning in the work of God as long as you're carnal. Okay, so you'll just be fine walking in the shallow end, never stepping out far enough with God that it requires faith. But when you start walking out with Jesus and you start giving yourself fully committed to the work of God, let me tell you something. The further commitment to the work of God brings into light new struggles. And everybody struggles. But when you serve God with all your heart, there are struggles that you face that an uncommitted, unconsecrated child of God doesn't struggle with. Now, Paul said, I'm actually in a plight about some issues, and the reason why I'm struggling is because of how much I love Jesus. Philippians 1, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now he gave an equation. He said living is Jesus and dying is gain. On both sides of the equal sign are good things. So you've got to arrive at the conclusion that Paul arrived at. That living is Jesus. And that dying is gain. Now watch this now. When everything in you and every breath in you wants to live to please Jesus every day. And yet every fiber of your being knows that when you die, you're going to see Jesus that day. It puts you in struggle. Because part of you wants to do one thing and part of you wants to do another. Could I tell you, for those that aren't living for Jesus, you don't want to be here. Amen. And by the way, for those that don't know Jesus, they don't want to leave here. But for those that do love Jesus, they love being here and they're going to love being there. Listen, beloved, this is an actual plight. And when your mind is set on the furtherance of the gospel, you will learn in a spiritually healthy way to struggle with these two things. Here's his current outflow. Give me about 7 more minutes. His current outflow is, I'm living in the flesh and there's fruit from my labor. Paul said, I want to tell you something. I'm down here on planet Earth in this physical body and I'm enjoying myself. Somebody say amen. I will tell you, I enjoy life. I mean, life is exhausting and life is taxing and life is wearying, but I enjoy life. I mean, every time I preached this past week, I enjoyed it. And tomorrow I'm going to head over to Maryland and preach again, and Tuesday and preach again, and Thursday in Tennessee and preach again. And I'm going to enjoy it every single time because I know that when I'm in the work of God, my labor will always reap fruit. Listen to me now. You may be going tomorrow to a job that you hate going to because you feel like you never get anything out of it. But let me tell you about this gospel thing. You don't ever have to be weary in well doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. When you're serving God, listen now, never, not ever, not ever is your labor in vain. So Paul says, you know, this living for God down here stuff has an outflow that I'm enjoying. Not only his current outflow, but notice his considered options. I can stay in this earthly house, or I can go to my eternal home. Now listen to me. At the end of the day, when it really settles down for the Christian, there are two options for you: living or dying. Look here, look here, look here. If you're saved, neither one of them is a loss. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you something. You say, preacher, this world is a wicked place. Preacher, this there's a leak in this old building, and my soul's got to move. Preacher, I get up every day and fight the devil and battle the flesh. And by the way, it is a battle, but I won't tell you, I would rather be on planet Earth in Christ than live an easy life outside of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not looking for something else to do. I'm not trying to find somebody else to serve. I'm not trying to pick up another habit. I'm not trying to turn over a new leaf. I have decided to follow Jesus, and I ain't turning back. There is another option, though. I could die. Now look thirdly, if you would, his current outflow, his considered options, but his Christ-like outlook. He says, let me tell you about going to heaven. I'm in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire, verse 23, to depart. Remember he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the day of my departure is at hand. The Greeks used that word to describe a ship that was anchored being set out to sea. Paul said, I'm in this deep, dark Roman sail. He said, but I can sense that the anchor's coming up off this boat, and I'm getting ready to set out to sea to my heavenly home. He said, I know that guillotine's about to chop my head off, but I've learned some things about the word of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said, let me tell you, I've been caught up to heaven where God was, and when I came back down, it was so good I couldn't even describe it. He says, let me tell you, when it comes to going to heaven, I'm ready. Wow. Write down in your notes, and I'll give you this and I'll close. For Paul, there was a far better desire. Verse 24, nevertheless, in the flesh, is more needful for you. I wrote down on my notes, on one end there was a far better desire, and on the other end there was a fellow believer dependence. Paul said, getting out of here, going to heaven is the best thing in the world. But staying here, leaving is better for me, but staying is better for you. Now, the only way to think like that, you got to think like Jesus. And the preacher was preaching this on Friday, Philippians chapter 1, and I chuckled to myself knowing that I had already prepared in our next step to be here tonight. And I wonder if you've been walking enough with the Lord lately that the way you view life is not based on what's better for you, amen, but what's better for somebody else. When you go to bed tonight, I want you to ask yourself this question. Does anybody need me? Is there anybody in the Christian life? Now, if you're not careful, you'll live on an island by yourself. As long as you take care of yourself and do your little self right and get your little self together, you'll be fine. But God didn't save you to serve yourself. God saved you to serve somebody. And in order to serve people, you got to get around them. People that aren't like you, that don't think like you, that don't look like you, that don't sound like you, but were created by the same God you were created by. And you will find that when you're single-mindedly focused on the gospel, and your mindset is the furtherance of the gospel, you will find that the closer you get to Jesus, the more you share him with others, and the more your departure is a detriment for them. If you went to heaven tomorrow, would there be anybody in your college that was without? If you went to heaven tomorrow, would any of your coworkers go, I needed him? If you single adults went to heaven tomorrow, would there anybody be on social media that would go, oh man, there went the only spiritual presence? If you young people went to heaven tomorrow, would Brother Dre say, there's a big hole in the youth group? If you move, would Brother John say, man, it's going to hurt not having you in the prison? When you go out of town, it's not just about the solos you sing. Does Pastor Mike say, there's a spiritual fortitude that's missing when you're not in the choir? Or do you just make it look fuller? See, when somebody needs you, as good as it would be to go to heaven, you'd rather stay. I'm not trying to over-exaggerate the work of God, but I'll never be the Christian that Paul was. I would never claim it. But I can at least somewhat identify with feeling like, God, if I'm not what I'm supposed to be, somebody will go without. I want Jesus to come today. I want Jesus to come today. I'm fine with that. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be fine with going to meet him today, even if he didn't come. I wouldn't be fine with dying today and going to heaven. Could I tell you, when I get there, don't cry for me. I ain't trying to come back. And nobody ever went to heaven and went, oh man, it was way better down there. Nobody. If Jesus comes back tonight, I'm fine with it. If I die tonight, I'm fine with it. But you know what? I'd like to stay and raise my children. I'd love to pastor this church for 50 years. There's some people I'd like to lead to the Lord. And there are some prodigals I'd like to get back to God before I left. Is anybody listening to me? I'd like to disciple some young Christians before I go. I'd like to pack this place out before I checked out of here. I'm talking about balcony and everything. I'd like to put chairs out. I'd like to have to sit down and talk with the leadership about going to two services on Sunday morning before I hit heaven and run them streets and go, listen to me, I'm going to spend eternity there forever. And when I get there, it's going to go on and on, and time will be no more. And I'm telling you, there's nothing in my heart that would do me better than being with Jesus. By the way, streets of gold, gates of pearls, river of life, tree of life, and all those wonderful things about heaven, that mansion over the hilltop, that's a great thing. But the greatest thing about heaven is I can't wait to see my Savior face to face. I can't wait to cast my crowns at his feet. I can't wait to get around heaven and understand it better by and by. But there's the heart of a pastor and the heart of a parent and the heart of a husband as a partner that says, as much as I want to go to heaven, there's something about being here that's more needful. And if you're not willing to let Christ feel the centrality of all you do, don't even worry about that struggle. But when Jesus becomes everything, you get caught in a plight. The far better desire is to go up. But the fellow believer dependence is to stay here. If you can't think of anybody that needs you, why don't you take time between the next time I see you, which if you love the Lord and you're living right, will be Wednesday night. If not, I see you Sunday. Or wherever you go to church. Share the gospel so much this week that somebody needs you. See, that's what drives me. That's why I'm not even thinking about quitting. Because I got myself so hung up attached to people that if I do quit, they're going to run me down and shoot me dead. Some Christians can quit so easily because they've never positioned themselves to be needed by anybody. They never get involved. They never get deeply entrenched. They never become accountable. So they just slide off into the sunset and nobody cares. Let me tell you something. You say, well, you get all up in front, you'll put yourself out there. That's a good way to stay accountable. Become needed. And if you become needed as a Christian, walking away won't be so easy. Our Father, sometimes we're doing the right thing, but we're not pouring enough into people. There's a need. Give us a burden. Help us. Help us have a burden for people. That's why Paul said, I can't go. I can't go. I've been to heaven. I know what it's like, and I'm fine with going. But there's something for me to do while I'm here. And for that, I want to stay. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.